That's it, and then we get to yesterday. Everybody's still suffering from yesterday. I don't know about you, but I was tired. I went to bed very, very early. I said, Lord, I need rest now. I went to sleep and prayed and sort of actually fell asleep praying. I don't know if you've had those times where you wait on the Lord, you know, you're on your knees and that, and when you wake up, everything's numb, you know, my arms were numb, everything was numb. So I decided, I sort of just crawled onto the bed and just carried on sleeping in my clothes, you know. But I woke up at about 12 o'clock, because I said, Lord, now, you know, what now? What do I say from here on? And it was just before 12 o'clock, I woke up and I was wide awake, and I knew what I had to speak on today. It was very, very clear, and I'd sort of make notes in that, and then I'd switch off the light, and 5 minutes later I put on the lights and make some notes again, and then switch on, and this carried on for, must have been about an hour, hour and a half, I'm not sure what time I finished my message this morning. Okay, my main scripture for today is Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. I think most of us know it. Where it says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. The other translation, some of the other translations says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Same verse. Okay, if any of you guys are getting hot there with the sun and that, you can close the curtain behind you, but if it gets too much, but just don't close, you leave the sun there for Annelie so that... Okay. Right, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Now that word knowledge there is the word, it's actually revealed knowledge. It's not just knowledge. It's like it says in the other translations, it says where there is no revelation. It's revelation knowledge. It's not just normal knowledge. And the result of this, it says where there is no revelation of the word, the people cast off restraint. In other words, people are not restrained. They do whatever they want to. And the people are destroyed because of that lack of knowledge. In Isaiah 55, we see there that God says His word will not return to Him void, but it will always accomplish that which God sent it out for, that which He purposed with that word. And once again, it's the word. There's two words that are used in the Greek, in the Hebrew. I won't even try and pronounce the words, but in the Greek we have logos and we have rhema. And quite simply, the logos is written word. And the rhema is the spoken word or the revealed word. Now when we find in Romans where it speaks about faith cometh by hearing, that word and hearing comes by the preaching of the word. That preaching of the word is the word rhema again. In other words, it's revealed word. It's not just the word in general. And the proof of this is where there's a lot of churches where they preach from the same word, but it's lifeless. It has no life in it. The reason for that is because it's simply logos. And logos in itself only addresses the intellect. It only addresses the mind. Where rhema, or revealed word, actually ministers to the spirit of man and not just the mind. And that's important. In 1 Corinthians 2:20 it says, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. In other words, it once again speaks about revelation. It's actually, there's a lot of scriptures that speaks about revealed or revelation. The result of revelation is always action. In other words, when there's a revelation of something, it will bring about certain things. And we find that also once again in Romans 10 verse 8 to 17, where it says, the word of faith is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want you to note, it says that faith comes. Faith is a noun. It's not a verb. You cannot do faith. Believing is a noun. A verb, sorry. But faith is a noun. You can't do it. You can only receive it. Faith cometh. Remember the story where the guy was healed as well, and Peter got up and he said, by faith, the faith which comes from him and through him, you see this man healed. Remember the guy that was healed at the gate, beautiful. The faith which comes from him and through him resulted in that man's healing. In other words, faith is something we receive. It's not something we do. But faith always leads to action. And we find that in James, where it says, faith without works is dead. In fact, I want to go so far as to say that if there's no works, then it's not faith. Okay. You cannot respond by faith to something that you're not sure of. In other words, if you read something in the Word and you say, I'm not sure about this, you cannot have faith. Human deduction and reasoning can also not produce faith. In other words, if we take this word, we can sit for hours and we can analyze this word and we can make all kinds of human deductions on scripture and all kinds of things, and we can try and reason things out here and there and everywhere, and in the end it will produce nothing. Absolutely nothing. But where there's revelation, then we're talking a different ball game. Because when there's revelation, revelation brings deep conviction. In other words, you hear people say, God has given me a revelation of this, and nothing that you do or say is going to change it. Because it's revelation. It's something, it's supernatural. In other words, when God comes along and God reveals something to you, it surpasses human reasoning. There's things about the Word that to the human mind is foolishness. In other words, we look at it and it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. In fact, God operates in things that don't make sense. In other words, somebody is in poverty and God says, give what you got. Doesn't make sense, does it? The world says, keep it. God says, give it. Why? Because God knows what works. He put all the laws there. He put all the spiritual laws there. God knows how these things operate. And God knows that if you give, you'll be blessed. Where there is no revelation, you'll hear the phrase, I think, or I don't think, or I'm not sure, but this is what I, how I see it, or how I think it is. In other words, as long as we're speaking that language, we're speaking the language of the mind. But when we start saying, I went before the Lord, and I went and searched, and said, God, I need a revelation of this, and God brings a revelation, then it's completely different. It brings boldness. And you, the phrase that is used then is, like I said earlier on, where people say, I've had a revelation, and because I've had a revelation, I'm doing the following. And the minute that you've had a revelation, like I said, faith comes through that revelation. And the minute that there's a revelation and you're doing it by faith, guess what? God honors what you're doing. And it works. Now, we need to get to sort of the crux of the matter just now. But the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In other words, as long as you try and sit with this word on your own, and you try and sort of figure things out and everything like that, the letter kills and brings bondage. But when the Spirit of God comes and we bring the Holy Spirit into the picture and we say, Lord, you wrote this word. please help me to understand what you're telling me and what this word is saying. It brings life. And when God gives you a revelation of something, then you will want to do it. In other words, you will want to obey that word because God has spoken it to you. Would you agree with me? In Ephesians 4, we know the whole thing of the fivefold ministry and the reason for the fivefold ministry. There's two parts to it. The one side is equipping people. Now, that word in the Greek, equipping, is actually quite a full word. On the one side, it has to do with equipping people with the tools to be able to do something. And it was in this case to do the work of the ministry, which is the work of serving one another. But it also means to furnish. And to me, that has got quite a wonderful meaning to it. It means when you have an empty room and there's nothing in the room, and you walk in there and you say, well, this will look nice here and that will look nice here and some flowers over here, and you furnish the room so that it can be used. Now, it's the same when it comes to the equipping and the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is there to furnish people's lives so that it can be inhabited by God. I think it's quite a beautiful picture. But the fivefold ministry needs to minister the revealed word, in other words, revelation, so that it can produce life. In other words, the equipping that the Bible speaks about in Ephesians 4 cannot take place through logos. It cannot. Because otherwise, it will not produce the works. In other words, people will not go out and do it. They will simply sit and have a time of theorizing about things and discussing it and that kind of thing. But when it's revelation, in other words, when the fivefold ministry comes in, which is the way it's supposed to function, fivefold ministries are always supposed to function in revelation knowledge, then you find it produces the works. Well, while it's still theory and while it's still in the mind, you find people like to talk about it. In other words, we like to sit around and we throw it around and we kick the ball around, if I can put it like that. Once it becomes revelation and once it becomes something that's a part of your life, you no longer just speak it, you do it. There's a big difference. Basically, what we have here is two opposing systems working against each other. On the one side we have spirit, on the other side we have the human mind. The spirit will always produce God's will. The human mind will produce man's will. You see that? In other words, if we look into the word with a human mind, what we will get out of this word will be man's will, not God's will. I heard somebody once make the statement, they said, a man that is full, or man that is not full of the Spirit of God, will lift up the word of God. A man that is full of the Spirit of God will lift up the God of the word. Okay, so they're totally against each other. So in other words, these two things are working at once against the other. Now, I don't know about you, but I rather want to be in the place where I'm saying, God, I need your Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth. That's what I desire. Than to sit and build human philosophies around the word of what we think something should be. When it comes to the way God has put us together or designed us, you will always act in accordance with your beliefs. It's one of the things that we use a lot in counseling as well. It's strange. You can say something with a human mind. In other words, you can stand in front of me and you can tell me something and you can say with your mouth, I believe this or this or this. But at the end of the day, what is produced in your life, or the action, in other words, that happens, will be in accordance with your beliefs, which is a heart issue, not a mind issue. That's one of the problems that I had with the whole confession thing. You know, where people go around confessing. While you're still doing that, you're trying to convince yourself that thing is right or not. When something is in your heart, you speak it in a different way. You don't go and say, you know, 100 times a day, you know, whatever, I'm blessed. When it's in your heart, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, you won't be able to but speak what's in your heart. And the interesting thing is, people are put under pressure. What's inside comes out. Always. So on the outside, people can pretend and they can try and say, you know, I'm like this, or I believe this, or whatever. But the minute the pressure comes, in other words, when it comes to the area of finances, when it comes to sickness, when it comes to marriage being broken up, when it comes, whatever the situation is, when the pressure is there, what we really believe comes to the surface. And so at the end of the day, God's not so worried about what happens on the outside. God's interested in what happens inside our hearts, because He knows that it's from the heart that everything flows. All the issues of life, that's what Jesus said. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of his heart. Now, I actually have to apologize this morning. I appreciate when people are straight with me. And that is that I have, to a large part, neglected, because of busyness, I have neglected a part of my calling to this church. And that is to sit before God and to get revelation knowledge and bring that to you. So I need to apologize. I need to, and I need to bring about a change in my own life so that I can have that time to spend with God. I've been too busy with all kinds of things relating to the church and that, but at the end of the day, actually neglecting the one thing that I believe is very important. You see, if God has called me to lead this church and that, then I need to know where we're going. And I'm not saying that I need to hear alone, but I need to sit before God and I need to say, God, where are we going? And I need to bring a word that is a revelation, that is revelation knowledge, that is not just based on my ideas or what I think is right or wrong. And so we're going to be changing some things in the next week or two, because I need to loosen myself a bit so that I have that time to spend with God every day. Alright, it's crazy. I mean, I'm busy 12 hours a day at the moment. Yeah, sometimes it's even more. But, you know, and I can't, because at the end of the day, something suffers somewhere. And the thing that suffers is my relationship with the Lord. And we're going to be looking at starting the home churches very definitely. And instead of me trying to meet with people individually, what I'm rather going to do is meet in a group. So we're going to be starting sort of I almost want to call it a core cell. Okay, which will be here on a Tuesday night. Okay. And then from that, we will be doing other cells elsewhere. Other times, wherever, or other ministry, whatever, it doesn't have to necessarily be cell, but whatever other ministry will start from their core cell, because then it means I can have time with people, and the whole idea is to actually have an interactive kind of situation where we can talk to one another and we can address the issues relating to the church and individual people in that. So it's going to be a time, I believe, of actually ministering to one another as well, so that everybody can go out and actually be effective. In a sense, yeah. You see, because I can't get to everything, and I'm trying to meet with everybody individually, and it doesn't work like that. Okay, that's just sort of on the side. It's important, when it comes to the whole thing of revelation, it's important to have balance. Now, a lot of you guys know some of the things that God has shown me about Israel, where Israel came from, and that, you know, and what happens is, because God takes you into a time of revelation, it's almost like you're absorbed with that thing. And what can happen is that becomes your only message, if I can put it like that. Now, sometimes God gives people a specific message. Like, I believe God has given Gottfried a very, very specific message relevant to the business world, and actually to everybody. It's not just the business world, but it affects a certain area. But in everything that God reveals to us, there's a balance. There's a balance always between, for example, your walk with God and spending time with Him and time that you spend in the Word. There's a balance between church and the time you spend in church and the time you spend with family and the time you just spend on your own. There's always balance. God is balanced. God is not extreme. Okay? So we need to guard against that. We always need to make sure and say, God, help me to live a balanced Christian life. Help me to incorporate all that you have. On the one side, there's finances. On another side, there's the health and the healing of our bodies. In another place, there's to have a healthy mind. In another place, there's a place to have healthy relationships with other believers. There's also a side of us that needs to be relating to the world, because we're still in this world. We can't hide in a corner. So we need to pray for that. You also find that in the area of revelation, you'll find that God does not reveal everything to one person. There are certain areas where you may have revelation in a certain area, but in other areas it's lacking. That's why I believe God has put us together as a body, so that each joint supplies and brings the fullness of the revelation that God wants to bring in the church. I cannot bring the full revelation. It's impossible. I cannot. And that's why we are going to have other people ministering. There are going to be times where I'm actually looking forward to it very much, where I'm going to be sitting there and receiving ministry. It's important, because we have to have as much as possible. We have to have the full revelation as God has given to each person. The one thing about apostolic prophetic ministry is that somehow the apostolic ministries are able to see the broader picture. I don't know, it's just a thing I've noticed with apostles. You know, while you're busy with one facet over here and you're concentrating and you get all excited about it, the apostles are looking and they say, oh, okay, that's a nice part of the picture, of the big picture. There's this huge picture. And it's important that we keep ourselves busy with our part that God has given to us. But we mustn't exclude the rest for the sake of our little part that we have. We become so protective over that God's given us. In the meantime, it's just one small part in the whole big picture of what God is busy doing in the world and what He's doing in His church. A lot of people come to me and they say, you know, but we should do this and we should do that and we should do this and what about this? And I'm trying to listen to as many people as possible, obviously. But at the end of the day, it's about what does God say now? In other words, some things are not for now. There's some things that have to wait, because one can't run with too many things at the same time. So we have to basically step back and say, okay, Lord, what are you doing at this moment in this church now? And, you know, obviously we're part of the body of Christ in a wider sense, but we need to sit and say, okay, God, what are you saying? And then we need to just do that. Obey God in that one area. Implement that. Do and follow it through. I'll rather be busy with one or two things and make a success of them than try to do 10 different things and they all half. Okay, so a lot of things are going to have to be on hold a little bit. There's a lot of things that we want to do and that form part of the vision of this church. But we're going to have to do them one thing at a time, one step at a time, as God lays it on our hearts in that. Now, how do you know if something is revelation or if it's of self? I believe that if something is revelation, it will always have faith going with it. And if you look in Hebrews 11, what is the definition of faith? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Okay, so faith is the substance. In other words, it's like Pastor Ed used to say, you know that you know that you know that you know. In other words, it's not wishy-washy. It's not a thing of where you say, I think this, or I think that. You say, I know that. It's very interesting when people have experienced miracles in their lives. I've heard this phrase over and over again where people say, I knew God was going to do it. I just knew it. Say again? Peace is also important, yeah. Peace is one of the fruit that comes out of that. But faith, and faith always produces action. Faith is never passive. Never. Faith will always produce something in your life. Faith is also visible. In other words, you can see when somebody is doing something out of faith. Remember Jesus, when he saw that the man had faith to be healed, he said to him, take up your mat and walk. In other words, he could see faith. You can see faith in people's eyes and in their faces. Like I said just now in James, faith without works is dead. If you do something out of personal opinion, maybe this is going to sound a bit harsh, but if you do something because you think it's right, you know what the word sin actually means? It means to miss the mark. You see, we think that always is when you go and do something immoral. Sin means to miss the mark. In other words, if you're doing what you're doing because somebody else is doing it, or because somebody else said something, then you're not doing it out of faith. You're not doing it because it's a revelation to you, and it becomes works. And works ultimately is actually sin. The Bible says very clearly, without faith it's impossible to please God. So when we get down to the nitty gritty of it, in other words, yesterday we spoke about giving, we spoke about tithing, we spoke about all these things and that. At the end of the day, what I want to say is, if it's not done out of revelation and faith, it will not produce fruit. That's it. It has to come. In other words, I actually love it when people say to me, God has given me a revelation of this, and nothing that you say or do is going to change it. Because then I know. Revelation knowledge. Faith. In other words, go for it. Now we need to remember that not everybody is at the same place when it comes to the different things. And we need to remember where we have come from. In other words, if God has given you a revelation of something in the Word and you're applying it, one needs to remember and say, there was a time where you didn't have that revelation. And so we need to walk in grace with one another in this. Okay? It's important. We are different people that are at different places with God. And the whole area of faith covers a very broad spectrum in our lives. It covers healing. It covers our finances. It could be that God, that you want to buy a house, or you need another job, or another car. You see, and in everything there needs to be faith. In other words, there needs to be revelation, and there needs to be faith. I don't know if you guys heard the story of I always forget the guy's name. South African guy that ministers. He ministers even in the Dutch Reformed churches and that, on the gifts of the Spirit and all this kind of thing. And they, sorry? Harry Kiesvetter. I don't know if any of you guys have heard his testimony of his house, how he got his house. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. You see, because on the one side there's revelation that comes through the Word, but then there's also the personal Word that God gives you in your situation. And guess what? It also produces faith. Supernatural faith. So in other words, you may be in a situation like in his case. He was riding down the street and he rode past the property. And as he rode past the property, God said to him, I'm going to build you a house. And he said, you're going to buy this property. And so he thought, well, he hadn't even been thinking really of getting a house. And he carried on, and He went to the office, and when he was there, somebody walked in and gave him, I think it was 5,000 rand, and said, God told me to give you this towards your property that you're going to buy. How's that for confirmation? A bit later in the day, an attorney friend phones him and says, God told me to do the transfer of your property for free. And the one thing after the next just happened. Eventually he built a house without debt. Everything was paid for cash. You see what I'm saying? But that was a word that God had for him. That was his word. With somebody else, God may work differently. You see, it's one of the things that God does as well, is God meets you where you're at and what you're able to do in your life. You see, God won't expect you to, for example, move mountains. But you need to have faith or you're still at that place where to just go out and cross the street in the morning, you need God to just give you a word. You see, there's, we need to remember where we're at. As long as you're still saying, I think I must do this, you're not operating in the kind of place that, or the faith that God wants you to operate in. But now, how do you remedy that? In other words, how do we fix that? It basically comes back again to Romans, through the Word and by seeking God. In other words, remember, it's the Holy Spirit that brings revelation, not our own human deduction. You can spend the whole day or week in the Bible trying to reason out things in that, and it will not produce this much faith. But we need to bring God into the picture, and we need to go before God, and we need to say, Lord, I need you to speak into my life. And one of the things, and here I'm speaking about righteousness as well in our life. Sometimes there's sin in our life, and we need to apply faith in that area of our lives to change. But the problem is, what happens with people is we bring guilt on ourselves. So in other words, because there's an area where we don't have the revelation, and other people do have, we feel guilty. And so what we do is we try and sort of talk our way out of it. We reason our way out of things. And oftentimes we run away from it. So in other words, if there's an area of sin in our life, you know, we pick up our Bible and we start reading, and we see, you know, the whatever, you know, I just happened to open here and it talks about prostitution or whatever, whatever the case may be. and you know, and the guys may be doing that then, and you'll think, Lord, what are you saying to me? And you try and quickly page to another one, you know. What we need to do is we need to say, okay, God, there's an area of my life. I need your word to speak into this area of my life. And we actually need to read exactly that which makes us uncomfortable. It's important. So we need to sit with that word, and we need to sit with that word, and we need to sit with it, and we need to pray through it, and we need to say, God, give me more. And we need to listen to stuff. In other words, it's revelation comes by being exposed to the word, and in sometimes being exposed to anointed men and women of God that will speak into our lives. So in other words, if there's an area of my life that I'm battling with, I will purposely go and maybe get a tape or a book or something. And I'm not saying that's the be all and end all of everything, but I will go and I will and say, Lord, okay, speak to me through this. Obviously what I do is I've got people that I listen to and that I feel I can trust. In other words, that there's some books and tapes and stuff that I will not buy, because a lot of it is humanistic. It's about lifting up man and not about lifting up God. So I'm selective in what I listen to, but I listen and I say, okay, speak. And oftentimes it's amazing just what God speaks into my life through a tape or a book of an anointed man or woman of God. So basically, whatever we do in this church needs to come from a place of revelation and a place of faith, because then we will do the right thing. You see, I can't tell you, I can't say to you, listen, you must do this, or you must do that, or anything like that. I can't do that. But at the same time, I want to say to you that if God has given you a revelation in a certain area, stick with it. Don't change just because somebody else says so. Okay. Stick with the revelation that God has given you. If it's not an area of revelation, in other words, if you're still saying, you know, but I'm not sure, or I don't know if this is okay, then what I'd say is go and sit before God and say, okay, God, we need to settle this matter once and for all, and get the revelation so that you can act on that and do what is right before God. Does it help? Okay, so in other words, at the same time as well, it brings up another point that I just want to close on. I can only minister from the revelation that I have received. In other words, I can't minister something different to what is the conviction of my own heart. But at the same time, in doing that, I want to say that until that becomes a revelation to you, I don't expect you to suddenly change just because it's something I believe in. But I will continue to pray and ask God to give you a revelation in that area. But at the same time, I also will say, Lord, if I'm wrong, then I'm teachable, and help me to change what I believe. So in other words, we mustn't just give up the things that we believe in. And there have been times in my life, just the whole thing on the Rhema and Logos example, I just simply believed Rhema is the spoken word, Logos is the written word. That's it. And God was trying to get something through to me, you know, that it goes deeper than that, because in Romans it says, hearing they did not hear, and seeing they did not see. In other words, it's not talking about human hearing. It's not talking about human seeing. It's speaking about the spirit man hearing and seeing. But I didn't see it like that. You see, I was very dogmatic about it. No. That word, how can you say that? That Greek word simply means to speak. That's it. The rhema word, the word rhema actually just means to speak. I didn't see it like that. And then somebody, I can't remember the whole thing. Somebody gave me. No. Somebody invited me to come and hear a teaching on this by Yonggi Chow on Rhema and Logos. And of course, I said, no, I don't believe in that stuff. Then somebody invited me to watch a video. And they didn't tell me what the video was about. Guess what it was about? It was Paul Yonggi Chow's video on Rhema and Logos. Then somebody else gave me a set of tapes. Guess by who? Paul Yonggi Chow on Rhema and Logos. And then somebody gave me the book, The Fourth Dimension. And by then I was saying, okay, Lord, I think you're trying to tell me something. But guess what? I still didn't receive it. After all of that, I still didn't receive it. And one day, must have been about a year later, I was praying. And it took the Holy Spirit speaking to me directly and saying to me, listen, this is how it works. The Rhema has the creative power of God because it's revealed. The Logos is passive. In other words, when I speak a word to you and it's a Rhema word and you speak that word, it has the same creative power as if I spoke it. And then I said, okay, Lord, I'm starting to see what you're saying to me. You see, sometimes we're a bit stubborn. So let's be tolerant with one another. Okay. Let's remember where we've come from. But at the same time also, if there's not a revelation of a certain thing, if you're not sure about a certain thing in your life, whatever it may be, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, or the whole thing of tithing, whatever it is, doesn't matter, right? Say, okay, Lord, I'm prepared to sit before you. I'm prepared to be teachable. I'm prepared to listen to what other people have to say about this, so that I can have revelation of this in order to have faith. Okay, and that's one of the things, just the thing about giving is one can do all the right things, you can go through all the right motions. In other words, you can say, well, okay, Lord, I see, you know, that I must give, and that, so I'm going to do it. But if it's not done by faith, it will not produce the blessing. Okay. Nothing in our life that we do merely as sort of going through the motion, if I can put it like that, will produce a harvest in our lives. It's the things that are a deep conviction, it's a belief in our life that we can apply our faith to, then it can happen. Now, with myself in the area of giving, there's because of my conviction in the area of giving, and that when there's certain things that are not in place, in other words, if there's certain things that I'm not honoring and doing because God has revealed it to me, guess what? I can't apply faith. I do not have the boldness to say, Lord, I want you to bless my finances, because I know I'm not being obedient to the revelation that has been given. You see that? So immediately with revelation comes responsibility, because that's the final step of revelation. Obedience. But it's your obedience, not somebody else's. Okay. That's it. Today's short. Okay, I think let's just... is there anybody that's got a question before we close in prayer? And have some coffee.
Whatever God is saying, it will still not go against his will. I think it's important.
Yeah.
The rain of his revelation to Jesus will never go against his word.
That's it. Yeah. That's very important, yeah. Yeah. In other words, revelation is always subject to the written word.
Yeah.
It's not the other way around. In other words, you know, you can't have revelation at the top here and put the word under the revelation. In other words, it's always the opposite. In other words, if a revelation is truly of God, I personally believe that it will be absolutely 100% in line with the Logos. So the Logos is the way that we can test whether something is right or wrong. Okay, the other way that we test is one of the things that Frick mentioned, is a thing of peace. In other words, if something is truly of God, then you will have peace. If you don't have peace, then you need to go back again and say, Lord, something's wrong. Okay. When it comes to God, say, when the thing of a house. In other words, there's no scripture in the Bible that says, go and buy a house. You see? So that has to be a personal revelation. But if your revelation is, you know, that you must go out and you must go and do this business deal, and instead of putting on a 20% markup, you must put on a 300% markup to have a deposit for your house. Get what I'm saying? Sounds ridiculous, but in other words, where you're actually robbing somebody in order to buy a house, that's not in line with the word. The word says use just measures. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, there needs to be, so yes, that is important. Always has to be subject to the Logos. Anything else? All happy. Okay. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a God of faith. And Lord, thank you that you call the things that are not as though they were. And Father, that through faith you produce in our lives the things that you desire. But Father, we also thank you for your wonderful Holy Spirit that brings us the revelation that we need to have faith. And we just open our hearts anew to your Spirit. And we say, Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke of you and he said, you will come and you will teach us. We desire for you to be our teacher. We desire for you to give us the revelation knowledge that we need to understand and apply your word. And Father, we also pray now for everybody that has been giving so faithfully. Lord, thank you that the people are giving because of what you've revealed to them. That the giving is an act of obedience to that which you have shown them and taught them. And therefore, Father, I pray a blessing on every person as they give. That it will be true what your word says, Father, that it will be good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, that will be given back to them. And Lord, that you will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a tremendous blessing on everybody. Father, thank you for the way that you have been prospering your people. We are so grateful to you for that, Lord. Thank you for giving us our talents, our abilities to be able to work. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.